Hey everyone, Greg here, and welcome along to episode number 11 of the Woofing Possum podcast. Just want to say thank you to all the listeners out there, all the messages I've had so far, and the feedback about the podcast. It's hugely appreciated, and still does blow my mind a little bit. So yes, thank you so much, guys, for getting in touch. As always, if you do like the podcast, feel free to like, rate, subscribe, leave me a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you listen to our episodes. So guys, for episode number 11, I thought we would talk about expectations. Now, not the great ones like in the book, but expectations that we have in life, and certainly the expectations that we have when we're working with our dogs. Now, this particular topic came about following some really interesting conversations with clients recently. This was both in classes and during one-to-ones. And I kind of didn't realise how much we build expectations on our dogs when we get to that kind of training learning journey. Now, when it comes to expectations, the reason I thought this was really key is I think through my work, I've kind of trained myself to put them at the back of my mind wherever possible. And it's one of these things that I do that I think I get a little bit kind of complacent with in terms of how difficult it is to do that for a lot of people, particularly when you're not kind of in a teaching capacity as part of your day job. So, for example, when think back to anything where you've had to be in that learning environment, whether it was through work, you know, kind of back at school, learning a new hobby or skill, you know, musical instrument, whatever it might be, and I'm sure you've all had good and bad experiences or good and bad teachers. So what I'd like you to do is really think about a particular bad teacher and a particular good teacher. And why were they those things? Why was the bad teacher, in your opinion, a bad teacher? And why was the good teacher such a good teacher, in your opinion? Now, dogs are like us. So when I think about teachers that have worked well for me and teachers that maybe haven't worked for me, it's predominantly been around the way they've interacted with me and their expectation on me. So if I had a teacher who just expected me to get this maths equation because we've covered it for 2 months and now I can't remember why or how I meant to figure this out, that teacher may have got really frustrated with me because they've invested a lot of time and effort trying to teach me, and now I'm kind of looking at them a little bit blankly, not really having a clue what they're talking about. So instantly in that situation, we've got frustration starting to creep in. Certainly frustration from the teacher's part because they've invested a lot of time into me trying to teach me this thing that I now can't remember, and a lot of frustration from me because, well, I can't remember. And you know, life would be a lot easier if I did, because then I wouldn't be in this awkward situation trying to kind of think on my feet and try and work something out on the fly that maybe perhaps I apparently should know really well. So with that, that's not an uncommon situation to find ourselves in with our dogs. And the reason being is we go into a lot of our little sessions, training, or even just our general life with our dog with a lot of expectation of what we would like to see, what we would like to achieve. And we can often get frustrated when we're not achieving those things with our dog. So thinking about that a little bit more, the reason frustration often keeps in with expectation is because one of us is expecting something different from the other. So going back to that maths teacher analogy, they expected me to have the answer and I didn't. So all this frustration starts to creep in. Now, I didn't particularly like that particular maths teacher because the way they interacted with me and the way that learning was set up in that classroom didn't play to my strengths at all. I'm not sure what type of learner I am, if I'm honest, but I do like to have a little bit of theory, but that I very much like practical. I like to do things and learn from my mistakes and mess up a few times and then get it right and then maybe go back and read a bit more and you know, typical, probably, dare I say, being a gender stereotype, but kind of a bit of a typical man with the instructions. I kind of skim it, go, yeah, I know what I'm doing, get cracking with it, make a mistake, and then suddenly study the instructions in a little bit more detail, and then realise where I went wrong and start to correct it again. So that's kind of my learning style. So if I've got a teacher that doesn't really play to that style, there's often a lot of conflict. And this is exactly the same with our dogs. So whenever we're doing any training, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're probably going to have an expectation of what you're looking to get out of this session. Now, please don't confuse an expectation with criteria. They are effectively subtly different between those two things. Criteria is when I'm going into a little training session or working with my pooch, and I've done a little bit of thought beforehand around where we are in our kind of training journey and what it is that I would like to achieve in this next one. And in that next session, whether or not I achieve it then defines what I do during that session, whether I just kind of call it quits and go back to the drawing board, or I modify my criteria during the session. However, an expectation, we don't generally do that level of planning. An expectation is really a goal. This is what I want to achieve. And if I don't achieve it, then usually, if you're anything like me, you might have a little bit of a paddy and get a little bit frustrated about the situation. And this is where expectations can be a little bit dangerous to our training. So, if I'm in the park and I've got a new dog and I have this vision of what life is going to be like with Pooch moving forward. You know, we're going to do some lovely walking together. We're going to go on adventures. We're going to go out into the countryside and you can be off lead and running free. And then whenever I need you to, I'm going to shout or blow my whistle and you're going to return by my side because, you know, you're man's best friend. That's exactly what you're meant to do, apparently. But every time I've let my dog off lead, they've just been a Houdini and disappeared, and I've been worried sick and been stood in the field for what felt like days on end waiting for you to return. So now I'm a little bit annoyed because I can't let you off the lead anymore. Not really sure what to do. So we're out having a walk and I'm in the park and there's one of them, you know, one of them show-off owners whose dog does all that lovely recall every time they ask it, and it's running around and then it's back by their side and then it goes off running again. It's back by their side. And I'm usually, generally, being honest, guys, I'm a little bit jealous, but I'm also frustrated as well because my expectation was that's what my dog would be doing. And guess what? My dog doesn't do that. And why not? And then I just seem to get, and a lot of people do, we get ourselves in this kind of negative frame of mind where that frustration is driving how I feel about that particular situation or that skill that I would like my dog to learn. Now, usually that training has broken down because we are in a situation where my expectation and then the training I've done has not been conducive to my dog. So there's a very popular kind of little line that we use in dog training, which is we can only train the dog that is in front of us. And what we mean by that is I can't look at other dogs or other people and just because they're human and canine mean I get the exact same results because I'm a human and I've got a canine in front of me. That's not how it works. So training the dog in front of you is very much about trying to be aware, open-minded, I should say, about how my dog learns. What works for one dog isn't going to work for the next dog. So a part of dog training, you know, there isn't this magic wand that we all rock up to and use. Dog training is about working with the dog and understanding their needs, their drives, their emotional states, and working with them to help learn new skills. So if I have an expectation, I may inadvertently let that expectation drive my plan for the training, rather than letting effectively the dog drive my plan for the training. Because if my dog is not food motivated, for example, and I've come out with a treat pouch loaded with food expecting to do some training and Pooch doesn't do it, or only kind of half-heartedly does it, there's going to be a breakdown. We're not learning properly because my expectation is you're going to do this for food and we're going to do this thing that my trainers taught me or that I've seen online or that I've read in a book, and you're not doing it. Why are you not doing it? I've got everything it says in the manual. I've got everything that was said to me in the class or whatever it might be. You're not doing it. Well, this is all just a bit of a waste of time and a bit of frustration. And guess what? I can look over the fence and see my neighbour with their super perfect dog. And guess what? All that emotion and that frustration starts to creep back in. So this is why with anyone that I'm kind of working with, whether that is in class or in one-to-one, trying to remove my, the expectation, from any time I'm trying to learn something new with my dog is really key. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be there, guys. I just want to be aware and cognizant of it so it's not heavily influencing my sessions. I often, as you'll probably know by now on the podcast, guys, I love to use analogies. I love to kind of do kind of metaphors for different circumstances in life. And expectations for me kind of fall into the what I call like my pushy parent example. So if I have a child and my next door neighbor's kid, who's a a little bit older, is an amazing. So football's big in the UK. Is an amazing footballer, getting talent scouted left, right, and centre by all these big local clubs. All want to sign him. You know, he's got youth contracts and all that kind of thing. If I'm a mad football fan, I might inadvertently start to have an expectation that that's what my kid is going to do as well. So then I'm going to start to create a or dare I say a pushy parent environment to try and achieve that result that I now have an expectation that my child's going to achieve. And in a very small amount of cases it might work, but generally it doesn't. You know, that type of environment can often just drive frustration, anger, and even though there's a lot of love there because you know we might be parent and child, the two goals, the two expectations just aren't quite aligned. And it's probably very one-sided in terms of that expectation, and therefore all the things that we're doing around, you know, kind of day-to-day life is built around an expectation that I may or may not agree with as the learner. So that's why expectations can be quite dangerous when it comes to our training in life with Pooch, because they can just override things. We can sometimes forget to actually just embrace and enjoy the dog that's in front of us. And you know what? If my dog can never learn a recall as well as my friend's dog, then do you know what? As much as it would be lovely to have, maybe I can teach my dog something that they do incredibly well that their dog can't, if I'm the competitive type. But however, I will find things that my dog is amazing at doing. They might be the best cuddler in the world. And actually, life with a dog that's super cuddly is a pretty good life, in my opinion. So do you know what? If it means we only do long line walks, and you never get to go off lead because, or we only do that in kind of enclosed, private, secure fields, then fine. I can reset my expectations and live with that, because what I will do is make the most of those situations. So with your expectations, guys, please, please, please don't get too bogged down in them, but definitely be aware of them so you can check yourself accordingly and make sure that it isn't starting to influence life with Pooch, hinder your training, start driving frustration between the both of you when you're trying to learn something new. That's not going to work in your favour, so being mindful of it, being cognizant of it, allows you just to take a breath and rethink about the situation and make sure that you are actually training and learning with the dog that is in front of you, not the dog that you've got in your expectations. Hope that makes sense, guys, but any questions or any feedback, as always, feel free to get in contact with me. You can go through the website, which is www.greatpaws.co.uk. Head on over to the contact me page and drop me an email and let me know what you think. Please also use that if there is any topics that you would like me to cover in the future. It'd be fantastic to hear from you even. So that's it for episode 11 on expectations. This is probably something we will circle back to in the future once again. However, for now, have a great time. Enjoy some fun times with Pooch. I'll see you again very soon for episode number 12. And as always, like, rate, subscribe. Why not tell a friend as well about not only the Woofin' Pawsome podcast, but there is also some other amazing podcasts out there that you can listen to if you are a dog fanatic like me. Okay, everyone, take care and we'll speak again soon. Bye-bye.